This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
What's going on, man? You seem, I don't know, you seem put out. You seem a little downtrodden, if I may be so bold.
You're picking up on it.
Okay. Should we start the show, or do you want to...
No. You should.
Should we record a podcast tonight?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, Clayton. You have found me hopelessly addicted once again.
Oh, no.
To No Man's Sky. Have you seen No Man's Sky before, the game?
No, I've not seen No Man's Sky, but I need you to stop telling me.
Just saying.
To play games because I'm still fucking playing Balatro every day.
You could on your phone?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure am. I'm trying to beat every level of every level.
Oh, every level of every deck or whatever it is?
Yeah. And it's going slowly.
I gave up on Balatro about a year ago. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about it.
What's the big combo right now? What's the combo you hold out for every deal?
It depends. Depends on the deck.
Really?
Depends on the deck. Yeah.
You're that fluid.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Had the checker deck, and that was just flush, straight flush. Flush. Right? Now I'm on plasma. Now it's like, well, I don't know. It depends. What do I have my little blue bishop, whatever it's on?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I'm going to Google No Man's Land. No. What is it?
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky.
It came out like a million years ago.
It's old.
It is old. But they've updated it like every 6 months for the last decade.
Oh, they get holiday expeditions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's delightful.
I don't have a platform for this.
You could buy a Steam Deck.
So I could.
Christmas is coming up.
Technically, that's true. You know what we're doing. Here, let me show you what I got.
Yeah, show me. It's not Christmas yet, though. Is that a... What is that?
That's a Nintendo Switch.
Guess what plays No Man's Sky?
Shut up. Does it?
It does.
Oh, no.
You're in trouble.
Oh, yep. That's right here on the platform list. Sure is. Okay. Well, so Maple has been wanting a Switch for a long time.
Right. And yet you have it.
Well, yeah. So so Santa is bringing it to her for Christmas because she's been so good this year.
Absolutely.
On occasion. And
I haven't heard stories about that part, but okay. Maybe it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're less entertaining for sure. But then Aaron had a good idea. It's going to be a family thing. Like the kids are going to smash it up
probably
on the third day. Let's not spend $600 on the Switch 2.
Correct. Yeah.
Let's get like an old one.
Right. Switch 1.
Switch even. 1. And then she went on Facebook Marketplace and found this college dork who was like, I'm selling mine so I can get a Switch 2. And so we met him in a parking lot. And so we got it. So it's great. So we got the Switch. We got all the accoutrement that goes with the Switch. Uh-huh. But I was like, well, I gotta make sure it works. Like,
you know, obviously,
trust some kid in a parking lot. So I started playing the Switch. So I downloaded two games. I downloaded Smash Brothers.
Obviously,
gotta have Smash Brothers, and then Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, that's a good one.
So when I'm not playing Balatro, I'm playing Tears of the Kingdom, 7 hours a day. I'm getting really good. Get really good at it. Man, it's been how long it's been since I played a new Zelda game.
Well, it's been so that's not a new Zelda game.
I mean, new
also
to
came
me,
out
yeah.
10 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I haven't played a Zelda game for the first time in I would say 15 years.
Wow.
And God, what a treat. Definitely been over a decade.
Hmm.
What a treat.
Are you getting good at it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I put boulders on sticks. I smash through rock walls. I get ripped up by monsters real good.
I'm just gonna have to believe you. I don't know what the game's about.
Yeah, the game. I get the game over screen 9 times an hour. but it doesn't. That means nothing in Zelda. Mm-hmm. You just respawn. You're fine. It's great.
It's good. So Maple's gonna get access to it. What, like February, March, something like that.
Well, I mean, Christmas obviously traditionally is in December, but I don't know. We may forget how to charge it for a while. You know what I'm saying? And then it comes out at nighttime and it's daddy's toy.
Yeah. Or Maple's bedtime changes to like 4:30 in the afternoon. And
yeah. I haven't tested it on the TV yet because obviously it plugs into the TV and you can play it.
Right.
On screen. And I haven't done it because she's been home from school.
Right.
Every day. Every day because it's snowing and our superintendent keeps calling off school. She was off school today. She's already off school tomorrow. She was off school last Friday. Since Thanksgiving, she has been to school 4 times. 4 times? Maybe 3 times.
That's not enough.
Driving me crazy. And I can't go up there. I can't plug it in while she's there, obviously. Right. I need her to go to school so I can play Zelda big. I'm going to tell that to the superintendent. Got real issues.
One day you're like unplugging the TV and dragging down your dungeon that you're broadcasting from right now. Daddy, what happened? Oh, I'm just gonna fix it up here and then bring it back.
Yeah, yeah. It breaks every day.
I'm just gonna take it back to the North Pole. Every day. There's a light that won't light on this side, so I'll be fixing it.
I'm one of Santa's elves. I didn't want to tell you, but I'm one of Santa's elves. I'm gonna search right now and see how much No Man's Sky is for this thing. It better be cheap, because you said it's old.
Mm-hmm.
While I do this, do you have any stories or anything?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so you're playing No Man's Sky.
Yeah, is there a story? Yeah, I've no. No, not really. It's an outer space game where you get to do anything you can imagine. You get to build bases and build spaceships and be a pirate or be not a pirate and harvest things and kill things and take photos of things.
Why would you opt to not be a pirate?
Well, you can't start as a pirate. You have to eventually...
Oh, this game sucks.
Yeah, I know. It takes about 10 minutes, then you can become a pirate.
Okay. It's too complicated to get games on this thing. Like 9-factor authentication. I don't like it. Like,
just mind, let me spend my $17, please. Or my $17 Nintendo bucks or something.
$70 Nintendo bucks. All right, well, that's good. All that is good. That's good stuff. All that good to have.
And done.
Good and done.
And
have we bantered enough? How's your week? Everything good? It's Monday.
Yeah, it's not good so far, but maybe it'll get better. I don't know.
Could get better.
Maybe. Could get worse.
Always a chance it's going to get worse. Lots of opportunities for it to be worse. That's cool. I'm going to New York this weekend.
Ooh. Are you staying in Chad's old apartment?
Sure am.
Really?
Well, I wouldn't call it his old apartment.
Well.
But, yeah, his nice, big, beautiful 3-bedroom apartment. Yep.
Nice.
We are... That's our reward for driving to New York from Central Virginia with 2 small children.
You'll have to let me know how it is. We've been talking about taking the girls to New York, maybe over spring breaks. Maybe I'll just stay in Chad's place instead of...
You should, man. I'm sure he'd let you. He's very generous. We've stayed there many times before. It's very,
how about you stay nice. There? You stay there and you let me know how many like big jugs of water there are lying around. And
man, I don't know. Yeah, that's weird, huh? Can we talk about that? We must have talked about
you
that.
You did, yeah. You mentioned there were like 25 huge jugs of water.
Huge. Huge. So we'll see. I don't know. There have been people staying there against Chad's wishes for the last about year or so.
Right, yes.
We'll see how much water they drink. They might have had some water.
Are they gone?
Well, they're going to be gone this weekend, I'm told.
Ah, okay. Maybe I don't want to mess with this. this sounds about my pay grade.
I think they're going to be gone this weekend. Hopefully. It's going to be real weird if we get there and they're there. But Chad said they're going to be gone for good February 1st.
Okay.
So you'll be fine by spring break.
Yeah, sure. Because I'm sure that's all just going to go exactly according to plan.
It always does every day. Every time Chad says I'm kicking them out this time.
Mm-hmm. They do it.
Yep. Did we do the intro yet? Did I do that? To this show?
Probably not. Do it again. We'll do it.
Okay. All right. Everybody, welcome to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously, but who does, who did get me off on a tangent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the first intro we did.
Is it?
I don't know.
Jeremy will play both. He'll play both back to back.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Jeremy, if we did two intros, I want them both in.
Mm-hmm.
Leave them both.
Can you overdub them? Just play them both on top of each other.
Yeah. See which one. Yeah. See what happens. Boy. Well, I don't know. Do you want to hear a ghost story?
Sure.
Okay. Jeremy re-uploaded the sound clips. He uploaded the old sound clip that I've been looking for a long time.
Oh, good.
That I think I probably deleted from user error. But then he also uploaded a second new clip.
Hey, okay.
So we should start. I guess we could do both of them.
Sure.
Okay. Here's the one. Here's the one I've been looking for the last few weeks.
Oh, I'm a baby. I'm a baby.
I like that one. I think it's going to have a lot of use for us. And then here's the new one that he cut just for us today.
Sup, bitch.
So
it's no
that,
Wham, but it's on it's on a short list.
It's good,
on a
though,
short
right?
list with Wham.
Yeah. Gotta find a good recurring use for sup, bitch, and you being a baby. All right, on Sunday, September 2nd, 1666.
Oh, it's a lucky year.
Sure is.
For some people. Unlucky for others.
The devil himself. A London bakery catches fire on Pudding Lane. Oh, man. fucking London. England is great. The fire spreads really quickly.
Oh no! Was no one putting it out?
Okay. Hold on. I'm gonna.
That's fine. You get like 17 new clips, and you use that old one. That's fine.
So it spreads quickly, and because it's 1666, they don't have a whole lot of like great firefighting
infrastructure. Wasn't their strong point? No, absolutely not.
No. They do. The one big thing they have to fight fires is they create fire breaks.
Oh, okay.
Which they do by destroying buildings that are in the path of the fire.
Oh, this is so much better than being a firefighter. This is
so fun. Is it time to rampage? Yeah. Is it time to rampage? Let's rampage. So this usually worked out okay.
I believe it. Yeah. It's
foolproof. Yeah, no big issues, really. But in this case, the Lord Mayor at the time, who was a man named Sir Thomas Bludworth, he hesitates a bit in his orders because it's very late at night, and he's like, I don't want to try to wake people up to get them out of buildings to break them down.
Right. They're probably going to wake up when the fire burns them up, though.
He's not expending energy.
That's a different department. That's not part of my thing.
No. So he's not sure if he's doing it. So he hesitates. And he's like, well, maybe the fire will blow over.
That's exactly what fire does. It does blow over. It blows over everything.
The place. And so by the time, it goes everywhere. And by the time the Lord Mayor finally orders buildings to be knocked down, it's too late.
Mm.
This fire is raging all into London proper.
Mm.
And the fire burns for 3 full days and basically destroys all of London.
Hmm.
And it becomes known as the Great Fire of London.
Hmm. It's easy to remember year. I can never remember the Chicago fire year. It's like a weird one.
1871.
No clue. No fucking idea.
1871? Great Chicago fire. 1871?
Boom. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Which I can only actually remember because there is a company in Chicago called 1871 named after the year of the fire.
Well, there you go.
A big like co-working startup space.
Hmm. Seems like a bad name for that.
It's a bad omen. I think they're saying like this is the year we started rebuilding and building a new Chicago.
Right.
But
yeah.
It's not more commonly known
we
as.
We weren't responsible for the ugly business before though. That was a cow or something?
Yeah. That's cows for sure.
Yeah. But if somebody asks me 30 years from now, like when was the Great London Fire? 1666. That's a pretty easy one right there.
That's a good one. That's a good one. It's, you know, everything's easier for people in London. So the fire burns London. It changes a lot about London's geography. Which is like mostly it destroys it.
Yeah,
it destroys the geography. Yeah.
The topography has a lot to do with the topography.
Gone. And in the aftermath, the city rebuilds itself a little bit differently, much like Chicago did.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the wealthier folks, now they decide to spread out a bit so they're not so susceptible to combustion, I suppose. So they get around. Several wealthy suburbs begin to spring up around London, and one of them is a town called Bermondsey. Yep, and it is located southeast of London.
Mm-hmm.
Bermondsey enjoys a wonderful heyday with the well-heeled socialites of the town. But eventually, the affluent folks, they keep spreading further and further kind mm-hmm. of out into the area.
Like the fire. Yes. Yeah, I
yes, much yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And no one's willing to knock down a building to keep out. The rich people from spreading even further. And, yeah.
By the 19th century, Bermondsey had been abandoned pretty much by its wealthy residents.
Oh.
A part of the reason is it's right on the River Thames. So when industrialism comes to London,
mm-hmm.
the factories start going up along the waterway, mm-hmm. of course, for all right. the reasons you would want a factory on the water.
Of course.
Ships and mm-hmm. cooling hot stuff
mm-hmm.
and absolutely. Water power, probably.
Yep. Bunch of men with no shirts on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know how factories just work.
Glistening. Yeah. And so suddenly you've got all this smoke everywhere. You've got working class people everywhere, and that's mm-hmm. gross. There are immigrants flooding into town for work. So the rich people leave, and Bermondsey becomes an industrial town.
Hmm.
And of course, we're not using clean energy.
Right.
Those glistening men got to be streaked with something dark and weirdly sexy. So these towns are terrible for the insides of your body. You
right.
breathe in a lot of stuff. You shouldn't really breathe in.
Right. Yes.
There are lead factories.
A lead factory.
There's a lead factory.
Boy.
They factor lead. Into Man. Your daily diet. There are tanneries. So there's a lot of.
We discussed tanneries.
Yep. Yep.
Horrifying yep. on every level.
Uh huh.
Probably rather work at the lead place.
If I'm
putting in applications along this row of businesses, I don't put one in at the tannery.
No.
I probably put one in at the lead factory, though.
You just go absolutely bananas and just have fun.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't know when that lead turns you mad, you don't know it. You're mm-hmm. just like, this is great. Riding high. You work at that tannery, you are coming home covered in viscera mm-hmm. every day and smelling like burnt intestines.
Mm-hmm. Every day you come home a little quieter than the day before.
So it's terrible there is what the property values plummet. Soon Bermondsey becomes the site of some of London's most notorious slums.
Mm.
And the most notorious.
I bet the food's great, though.
The food is so good.
I can imagine.
Like awful. There's lots of awful there. Ever tell you about the time I had haggis? We talked about haggis.
Yes, yes. We've discussed haggis at length.
Probably last time we talked about tanneries.
I think it was.
Yeah. Gross. The most notorious of all these slums was known as Jacob's Island.
Oh, an island.
Well, Jacob's Island is not an island.
Oh.
That's important.
Okay.
It's really nothing at all like an island. It is bordered on one side by the Thames.
Okay.
And then it's
25% an island.
It's part island.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the part of the Thames where there's a confluence with the Thames, but then this other river called mm-hmm. River Neckinger.
Uh-huh.
Which is probably pronounced different. I don't know. Everyone's going to yell at me.
Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
I don't live there.
I don't care about their feelings. But the river, the other river, the Neckinger River, is an underground river.
Oh, they had those? I don't
say. I think it's a naturally occurring underground river.
Okay.
It's kind of flows, goes this way. It just flows around.
Sure. Yeah.
And then there is also water kind of all around because it's coming in through man-made ditches that were dug to bring in water to help power the tanneries and the lead factories.
This place is sounding worse. It's sounding worse and worse.
You've got this like swampy, I don't know. It's not even like a peninsula. I don't know. It's a swampy riverside
mm-hmm.
place, and you can't dig too far down because you'll fall into water. So it's pretty bad,
mm-hmm.
and it's so bad that eventually Charles Dickens will help put Jacob's Island on the map by including it in his novel Oliver Twist.
Oh.
And here's what he said. Here's how he describes Jacob's Island in mm-hmm. that novel. In Jacob's Island, the warehouses are roofless and empty. The walls are crumbling down. The windows are windows no more. The doors are falling into the streets. The chimneys are blackened, but they yield no smoke. 30 or 40 years ago, before losses and chancery suits came upon it, it was a thriving place, but now it is a desolate island indeed. The houses have no owners. They are broken open and entered upon by those who have the courage. And there they live, and there they die. They must have powerful motives for a secret residence, or be reduced to a destitute condition indeed, who seek a refuge in Jacob's Island.
Maybe the restaurants aren't very good.
I don't think they're not getting any stars.
Usually it'd be like a place like that's going to have like good halal food or something, but this place doesn't sound like it does.
No, I don't think there's a nori place here for sure. There's no peri peri chicken happening. I think at Jacob's Island. Anyway, so a 19th century social researcher named Henry Mayhew once described Jacob's Island as a, quote, pest island with, quote, literally the smell of a graveyard and also, quote, crazy and rotten bridges.
Hmm.
So it's fun to live there. Drains, like plumbing drains from houses emptied directly into the man-made ditches.
Sure.
Into the water.
Why are we still putting it below ground? It's just going to come back up.
That's right. Just cut out the middleman. Here's another quote from Mayhew. In the water harboring masses of rotting weed, animal carcasses, and dead fish.
Hmm.
He described the water as, quote, red as blood in some parts.
Ugh.
Which I'm not an aqua scientist, but I know that water is, that's not right. That's not good.
I consulted with marine biologists, and she shared with me that red is the worst color for water.
So you won't be surprised to learn that cholera is an issue on Jacob's Island.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, I believe cholera probably is the longest standing resident of Jacob's Island.
Mm-hmm. In 1849, the Morning Chronicle called Jacob's Island, quote, the very capital of cholera.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's on the map. One of the residents of Jacob's Island around this time was a man named Charles Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
He was a dock worker and a carman.
Mm.
A car man, but it's one word. So I'm gonna, right. It's car.
A carman. Yeah, yeah.
Carman, yeah. Which is, as it sounds, it's a driver.
Right. Yes. Of horses?
Yeah, it's 1820. Yes. So yep. Gotta be. I'm pretty sure it's horses.
So they invented the name car before they invented cars.
Yeah, I think maybe these notes are taken without they're not writing as if they are hanging out there with
fine.
Chuck Bacon.
That's fine.
Where are we at here? So yeah, he's a car, he's a driver, whatever. He drives horses. In 1827, Charles marries a woman named Rachel Ball. And they had at least 7 children and several died in infancy.
Okay.
So yeah, either they lost count or no one counted ever. It's, you know, so obviously a lot of babies died young.
Right.
We talk about so often. But in a place like Jacob's Island, it's even worse because the conditions are so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So they're lucky that any of them survived. And one of them who did survive was Caroline. She's their youngest. And she's okay. She's good to go.
Okay. So carry on the family name. She's going to carry it on. Good.
She's going to carry. Caroline's carrying on. They live a pretty cool life. Up until March of 1852, when Rachel, the mom, she dies of cholera.
Hmm.
She's one of the unlucky millions. Within 7 months, Charles remarries to a widow named Sarah Tuckey. Probably lots of widows and widowers around here.
And when you have at least 7 kids.
Oh, well, you know, you're snatching one up real quick.
You need some help real quick.
Mm-hmm. Your person's dead. My person's dead. Mm-hmm. I got these kids. You got your kids. How about more kids? It'll work. We're a great match. Now, Caroline, again, the youngest daughter, she does not love this situation. She does not like that she has a new stepmother, and she sure as hell doesn't like her new stepmother.
Hmm. Okay.
They don't get along, and Caroline makes no secret about that. No thank you. Sarah. No thank you, Sarah. That's what Caroline says, but angrier. And she's like, life is bad enough without this like widow around, but she's
look around.
Terrible.
Seriously.
We don't need this.
Yeah.
We don't need this. I can see London right across the river. It looks so nice. Look at that. Look what we have to look at every day. Yeah. It's so clean over there.
I can see this through the piss-stained fog. Big Ben himself, I think. Maybe it's a rat. I'm not sure.
Very impressive, impressive rat. They make the best they can. So whatever. They live their life. Whatever. Several years later, though, in 1857, strange things start happening around the Bacon House. It starts with mysterious noises that start sounding at all hours. There's banging, there's clanging, there's squeaking. No one can find the source. After a while, the sounds become more piercing and it starts sounding like a screeching animal.
Mm.
But they can't find a source.
Okay.
It's just filling the house, but they don't know what's going on. Then things escalated a bit. Crockery and glasses start lifting off the shelves and hurling themselves across the room.
Oh, that sounds expensive.
Smash on the walls, smash on the floors. Man, this is the only... We have one pot. We have one pot and one plate. And now we have no pot and no plate.
We had one pot to piss in and then empty and rinse out and then eat in.
Yeah.
And now we have not... Don't even have that now.
Now we can't cook or piss.
Yeah.
This is the worst. So the children start feeling themselves being shoved by invisible hands.
Mm.
And the screaming just keeps going on. So much screaming. And the Bacons realize they are being haunted by a poltergeist.
Mm.
Now, unlike a lot of people that we've discussed on the show, Charles, he's pretty smart, despite what you would think from where he has just chosen to live and work. He does not fuck around. Within 3 days, he goes to see a priest.
Okay.
And he's like, this has got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
He goes up to the Most Holy Trinity Church, which is on Jacob's Island.
That's right. Start.
Absolutely.
I would not start at Second Holy Trinity. No.
No, you want the most. The most holy.
Number one, sir.
The Bacons are not Catholic. But one of the Charles' neighbors was like, I think you need an exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want an exorcism, you go Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta go Catholic.
They invented it.
Absolutely.
Kind of.
They got the best movie about it. So gotta go do it.
You do not want to watch The Hindu Exorcist. It is really boring.
It's just a lot of talking.
It's really all it is.
Some really fun dance scenes.
Yeah. and they learn just to kind of live with the spirit. It's not an exciting movie.
So he goes to the priest and he's like, I need an exorcism for my house. But the priest says, I'm not going to do that.
Hmm.
And I don't know why priests are always so reluctant to do exorcisms.
I don't know.
It's the coolest part of their job, hands down.
Mm-hmm. Plain hard to get, I would imagine. Or maybe holding out for some more inspiration. You know what I mean?
a little inspiration. Yeah, I don't
money,
know.
Money. I'm sorry.
This is an audio medium. Yeah, Patrick's rubbing his fingers together greedily, which in his case means Cheetos. But for most people out there, it means money.
Back then, it could have been Cheetos, too. I don't know.
I think so. I think Cheetos are pretty popular in 1860, whatever. So it doesn't matter. None of the story matters. Now, the priest won't do it. So he says, no, sorry, I'm not going to do that. So that's bad news for the Bacon family.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a charitable organization in town called the District Visiting Society.
Oh, okay.
And I guess they go to visit. Mm-hmm. They visit the poor people.
Right.
Their whole deal is they go to visit the poor people and they encourage them to go to church.
Right. But this guy has tried that. He's tried the priest. And the priest's like, I have no interest in this.
That's true. But here's the key difference, very important difference. These people, the District Visiting Society, they're not Catholic.
Oh, okay.
They're the kind of religious people who like care about people.
Right.
So they they encourage poor people to go to church because that's what the poor people need for sure.
Not food.
No food, not money. They God's love. They also give them clothes, so that's not, okay. They do give them. There's a charitable right. works yeah. there, so it's better. One of the members of this group, his name was Hancock. I don't know his first name. Or Mr. Hancock. He convinces the Reverend from the Christ Church in town
okay.
to go looking on the Bacons. And so Hancock and this man, Reverend Robert Marshall Martin, they go out there and they're gonna look at the house. And Martin sits down with the family, asks them some questions about the hunting. By the time the interview is over, when they leave, both Reverend Martin and Hancock are both like, I don't think there's a ghost here. I don't think this is it.
I think it's a couple people that worked a long time at the lead factory, and now they're seeing shit in the walls. I don't want to point fingers here, but
it is weird. This is the 19th ghost sighting we've had on this block of 19 houses this year. But they think it's actually 13-year-old Caroline who's doing all this. Now, again, Caroline was a mess. When I say she hated her stepmom, she really...
Yeah.
She would, and she's been acting out about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. So they bring Caroline before the local magistrate. And the magistrate is like, Caroline, are you the ghost? And then Caroline says, yes.
Oh.
It is me. I am the ghost.
There we go. This is a short podcast episode. All right. This
is the point in my research where I had done all this work to tell you this story that I realized this is a fraudulent haunting.
Right. This is not a ghost.
This is not a ghost.
This should be on our ancillary podcast.
Yeah. So this is...
this is the train.
This is a... yes. And so they ride her on a rail out of town and she goes... So this one is not a ghost.
Okay.
And I know that's upsetting.
Not really.
But I can tell by your face that they're all ghosts up till now. This is episode 180. And if you count like the live shows we've done, it's like 180, like four or whatever. Mm-hmm. 184 episodes. We finally got one that's not a ghost.
I'm excited.
We did it. We got there. Now there's no more story to tell because at this point I stopped researching because I don't care what happens to Rachel or Caroline. I do know she continues to be a problem for the family for a long time. Eventually she marries out and apparently her brother was very excited and wrote some very happy words about her being out of the house. So that was good. But this one is not a ghost. So the one interesting detail you might be thinking, well, how did Caroline make crockery fly?
Sure.
Across
She's
the
a
room.
Small child. Crockery is massive. I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah. It's big as her.
Yeah.
Head.
Pulleys. Maybe. Is it pulleys?
Well, what this article said, because pulley, it's gotta be heavy, right?
Everyone's
it's
thinking pulleys. So heavy. Everyone's thinking pulleys at this point.
And the dad looks always like, oh God, I should have seen the pulleys. They're huge and they're right there. I had to duck to not hit my head on them for the last 3 months. Didn't think about it. She claims that she would tie hairs to glasses and things and then yank them down. Now,
this sounds like
I don't know how long her hair is.
This sounds like a TikTok magic trick shit. I don't like this at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably like horse hair or something. Maybe it's like a string. But she would tie a thin string of some sort. Two things, and then just like yank them. Right. It would just go fly across the room. And that's how she did that, she claims. So that's the story of the Jacob's Island ghost in Bermondsey.
Hmm.
In the United Kingdom. And that one just kind of ends. That's just it.
I love it. This is my favorite episode.
This is. I was hoping you would like it. Just so you know, for next week, I've already started researching for next week. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, someone's gonna yell at me about this. I don't know. It's not gonna be you, obviously, but someone's gonna get mad that we did one that's not a ghost. So I started researching a really good one that I think you're gonna like a lot for next week. And this one, the next week, this is a spoiler alert, is a ghost.
Wow.
Oof. Is lots of ghosts, actually.
Okay.
So get ready. Buckle up. buckle up. This one just an angry teenager. And that's the first time this has happened. I know other stories on this podcast, people have been casting aspersions at some of the teenage girls. I think the Bell Witch, that came up. And then we proved that wrong. We proved that was a ghost.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, someone's like, I think it's that 13-year-old girl. They got me this time. They got me. That's good. Is it a ghost? Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Any final thoughts about this story, Patrick?
We should probably not retitle the podcast, Is This a 13-Year-Old Girl? Because I don't think that we can be on Spotify after that.
There is a subset of American Congress people, though, who I think will be pretty into it.
I think so. Difficult to monetize, though. Pretty difficult. Yeah.
Difficult to monetize. Yeah. But all you need, and we can do this with this particular one, we just need one big lump sum from one person. And I think if OnlyFans and the Jeffrey Epstein situation have taught me anything, it's that combined, their powers combined, we could get rich pretty easily. So that's my takeaway. Well, this has been another successful episode of Is This a Ghost? This is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our social media team is Jen Jones and Sam Murdoch. And our merch is handled by Fox and Quill Studio. Go check it out. That's it. Wow. And congratulations to all of you for being here for the very first time. We didn't talk about a ghost. It's been like 5 years now. We did it. So good for us. We finally answered the question with a no, and we'll never do it again. Between now and next week, I guess go about your lives. There's nothing to worry about here today because there's no ghosts and no such thing as ghosts as far as we are concerned this week. So we'll see you next week on a brand new episode of Is This a Ghost? I was so disappointed when I got to the end of that article. I was like, God, it's incredible that this has never happened before because I never read the full source before do it. Cause why?
Yeah.
Such a waste of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was really searching for a way to like spin this one to be like, well, some people say it was a 13-year-old girl, but others say, and everyone's like, nope.
Yeah. She confessed.
She confessed.
Yeah. She showed us the hairs. Like, it's done.
It's done. So, ooh. Well, that's what we got.